We're talking with David Gibbons of Zillow.com. David, Zillow is releasing a new version of its software dubbed Zillow 5. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Zillow 5 launches on Z5 this week. We're pretty excited about it.
Can you give me a short summary of the new features?
Absolutely. Glad to do so. A primary feature launching this week is something we're calling Home Q&A. In a sentence, anybody can now ask any question about any home that we have in the Zillow database. And likewise, anyone from the community can answer. I think, you know, the headline for what we're rolling out this week really is that word community. A lot of these features are around allowing our users to engage with each other on Zillow.com, for home buyers to find real estate agents who are local experts, and for home sellers to ask the neighborhood what they think about their sale price potentially. Home Q&A is our core feature. Any good community online needs to be backed up with the ability to understand the people in the community. So we're also rolling out profile pages. You provide as much or as little information as you want about yourself, but once you have a log on Zillow.com, you have a profile page automatically. So if you've responded to Q&A, I can go to your profile page and have a look at other Q&A that you have potentially answered. So that's Home Q&A, that's profile pages. And then we're launching Easy Ads this week. Very, very, very exciting release. Easy Ads is a self-service advertising product that allows anyone to purchase highly targeted advertising on Zillow extremely easily using a credit card and without having to speak to any of our folks. So for no more than $10 and at a cost of one penny per page view or one penny per ad view, you can buy an ad on Zillow.com that has, you know, your own branding, etc. So Easy Ads is another product that launches this week. It's Home Q&A, Profile Pages, Easy Ads. And one last feature, actually a little bit more subtle that I should call out related to Home Q&A, is we're also trying to answer the question, is this home for sale on every property in Zillow? And as you know, in December last year, we allowed owners and listing agents to tell us what properties were for sale. We're throwing that open, and we're asking that question of the entire community. So if you know that your neighbor's house is for sale, you can now tell us that is for sale and what the sale price is on that property. So we've really, you know, embraced this community concept with the Z5 release. You can definitely think of Z5 as the community release on Zillow. Anyone can ask any question. Anyone can answer the question, is this house currently for sale? And anyone can easily now buy advertising on Zillow.com.
I have your press release in front of me, and one of the features that popped out at me that we hadn't talked about before, the third bullet point on the second page, anyone can now add an unlimited number of photos to any home's webpage. For example, historical photos of homes before and after shots or neighborhood photos. I think that's really interesting, and this is something that didn't, you know, we didn't talk about it and I didn't foresee it. That is a... I mean, it's a killer. It's one of the things that I talked about when you went through your last software upgrade. I talked about it in the stuff that I wrote about. Was one of the things that I could foresee happening was for the records related to a particular home to become essentially permanent.
Exactly.
That there's going to be a marketing effort now, and 3 years later there may be another marketing effort, and we still have all of the content left over from that last marketing effort.
Exactly, and that's the way the site works today. You know, if you provide a lot of detail about the house and selling the house, that detail stays with the house when it's no longer for sale on Zillow. But, yeah, Greg, total oversight on my part. My apologies for not mentioning photos. Very much in line with the fact that anyone can answer any question on Zillow. The question, what does this house look like, can be answered by any member of the Zillow community. So anyone can upload photos to Zillow to any house on the website, but at the same time, we keep a reserve spot for the homeowner. So we sort the photos with the homeowner's photos first and then everybody else's photos last. So the homeowner still gets the ability to put up the core photo and the first couple of photos that are listed on the page.
Okay, when we talked about owners and listing agents being able to input information about a home for sale or a make me move home, at that time we talked about your ability to follow up with the person who provided that information to make sure that it is current. In other words, if the home is actually available, it's still listed, but when it becomes unavailable, it's no longer listed. Mm-hmm. How do you anticipate doing that kind of follow-up with an ordinary...
community, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. It's a very good question, Greg, and it's not quite the same. You know, if we are dealing with the listing agent or we're dealing with the homeowner, we know who to go and ping for updates, and so we do send them emails on a weekly basis with a reminder to update the listing or we'll pull it down. Here, we've taken actually quite a different approach, which is let's ask the entire community, is this house for sale? And what that means is that the first person who tells us a home for sale doesn't have to be the next person that tells us that the price has been reduced, and it sure as hell doesn't need to be the next person who also tells us the house is no longer for sale. So, you know, you could go and buy that house and then come and quickly tell Zillow that the property is off the market. So with regards to houses that the community has told us is for sale, the strategy there is to allow the entire community to keep the posting fresh and updated. That's the approach we're going. We're relying on it pretty heavily. It's made it really easy for anyone to update that posting status.
Okay, so let's take that one step further. We're in the news right now is the horrible ordeal that Kathy Sierra is going through with respect to anonymous malcontents who have taken graffiti to the land of extortion, death threats, et cetera. What plans does Zillow have to police the behavior of bad actors?
Good, very good question, Greg, and I spend a lot of time thinking about this. I'm pretty happy with what we've got on the site to date. You know, we've been living with user contributions on Zillow since September last year when we allowed homeowners to come and set the record straight with regards to their house facts. So we've got a pretty good idea by now as to how well-behaved people are going to be. You know, more than over 500,000 people have claimed the houses on Zillow by now. So we've got a pretty good feel for how mischievous behavior on Zillow is likely to be. Obviously, we're going to learn some more in the future. The first thing we've done is obviously, you know, anonymous contributions are not something we're too excited about. So for most functionality on Zillow, you need to be registered and signed into the website. Now Zillow becomes a community. I think with regards to most bad behavior, your reputation on Zillow is the overriding, you know, controlling force there, because the comment that you left or the answer that you left on this home is going to follow you around in your profile page. So if you give bad advice, I'm going to be able to see that on your profile page, and I won't take your advice too seriously in the future. So, you know, there are these reputation type systems that will allow the community to kind of self-correct from that perspective. Further than that, though, we do allow users to report bad behavior on Zillow, and we have a team of people who watch for those flags. We respond to flags within one business day, and we remove offensive content off the website. I want to be, you know, pretty straightforward about the fact that we won't tolerate the kind of behavior that took place on Kathy Sierra's blog. It's definitely not, you know, Zillow's not the place to come and harass your neighbor, and we won't stand for that kind of behavior on the site. We obviously have the ability to ban users, etc., but bottom line, as I say, to date, users have been pretty well behaved. And that said, also, you know, not everybody comes onto a website with the same standard for good behavior or the same standard for bad behavior, for that matter. So, you know, we do also go out of our way to touch a few users on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, that last contribution wasn't particularly appreciated. And I find people are actually responding to that kind of feedback really well. So it kind of depends what you're doing. You know, there's a range of mischievous behavior, and we tackle it, everything from, you know, reputation systems on the website, friendly emails from Zillow reminding you that you need to shape up, or banning people from the website at the most extreme. But yeah, we're watching user behavior. I can say, you know, to date I've been pretty impressed. First of all, there haven't been a lot of cases of malicious behavior, although there have been a few. I can count them on one hand. And then the second thing I'd say that's quite encouraging is in most of those cases, we've received multiple flags about the mischievous behavior. What does this tell you? What it tells me is that the flagging system is a great control system. In the one case, an agent was basically pretending to be a listing agent on someone else's listing. We received three flags that day telling us that this agent had basically taken over someone's listing and was pretending to be the listing agent. They weren't. And we followed up with the person, and they apologized and explained how it happened, took the listing off the website. Those three flags confirmed for me that there's an army of eyeballs out there looking for bad behavior on Zillow. And that army of eyeballs is very keen to tell us when they see things they don't like. So we're taking it on multiple fronts. I think we've got a pretty good plan of record at this stage, but mostly in the first couple of days of each new community-related feature, we're going to be watching pretty closely to make sure people behave themselves.
Okay, so the contributions to a particular home's profile page and also the profile page of individual users, those contributions are going to accrete sort of in a wiki-like fashion. Is that correct?
Correct. So I'm going to be able to go to your profile page, Greg Swan, and I'm going to, up front, I'm going to be able to say, okay, these are the Q&A questions you asked or answers you responded to. These are the wiki articles that you contributed to, or we're calling it the real estate guide now, the real estate guide articles you contributed to, and I can see your listings there as well.
And other users will be able to rate and rank the answers that I've given to other people's questions. Is that correct?
Good point, and I didn't mention that. So on the Q&A feature, not only can multiple people answer the question, which I think is really important because, yes, there might be a wrong answer there, so someone else can come and set the record straight with the correct answer. But further than that, as you just mentioned, readers will be able to rate your answers as helpful or not helpful. And so it'll be really easy for someone arriving late in the conversation to see which was the most highly rated helpful answer for any question in this Q&A feature.
And then for any particular question or answer, they might hold in doubt other people's evaluation, but if they go through to your profile page and find out that you're 0 out of 5 on everything, they're going to understand that you're not the brightest bulb in the
exactly.
in the marquee.
Say it accretes to you, yeah.
Or the other way around. If you're 5 out of 5 on everything, then you're the hero of the universe. I wanted to get to incentives, because I think that is what is most remarkable about this. From my point of view, Zillow has always been a site for which sellers had a strong incentive to come and to return to. The changes that you made last December were an invitation to buyers, and I'm kind of guessing that it wasn't as successful as you might have hoped it was, but you could tell me otherwise, it doesn't matter. But my take on the Zillow 5 improvements is that this is a broad-based, wide-open invitation for buyers to come, to stay, to return, to participate in this community. Is that correct?
It is. It's a very good way of putting it. We are throwing the gates wide open to the entire community of people who potentially have a stake in local real estate. And, you know, I wouldn't limit it to sellers, buyers, and homeowners. The fourth role of professionals, I hope that professionals look at Z5 and say, oh my word, this is the invite I've been waiting for from Zillow. I really believe Z5 has got a lot to say to professionals. You know, we talked slightly to listing agents in December when we allowed them to post the listings to Zillow for free. But as you know, a listing agent with a lot of listings, is probably not scratching for new places to market their listings to. Whereas I think this Z5 release really talks loud and clear to a buyer's agent who's looking to promote themselves in the neighborhood. And I think also to new agents who, looking to get their name out there, want to be known for something, but they're not sure what. They don't have the listings at this stage. Well, now you can be known for being the person who has the answer to every question in your neighborhood. You can be the person who is known for having the greatest curbside photograph of every listing that's for sale in your neighborhood. You can be the person who knows what the sale price is on every home that's for sale in your neighborhood without even having a listing. And then on top of that, for just $10, you start advertising. So I really think for professionals, we've got a hell of a story to tell with Z5.
I think so, too, and I think that that's a brilliant strategy, frankly, is that you have the ability to create content. I have, as a realtor, the ability to create content on Zillow, which attracts eyes. The eyes, some of them turn into clients, the clients turn into commissions, and the commissions turn into advertising dollars to attract even more eyes, and this is a self-sustaining ecosystem. This is exactly the way that I'm going to portray it. This is practically Planet Zillow. You're an arcology. No need for outside input at all. I'm not saying that that's literally true, but it is a self-sustaining market, a bourse, as it were. For...
I love that you see it that way. Agreed. I mean, Drew and I fantasize every now and then about what it might be like to be a realtor a few years from now. And, one of the things we kick around every now and then is, wouldn't it be great to just wake up in the morning and your first thing before you even, have breakfast or brush your teeth is you walk over to the computer, log on to Zillow, answer a bunch of questions, go to have breakfast, and your phone starts ringing. Absolutely. You get it, Greg.
Obviously, realtors, since even before Zillow was available, since Zillow was announced, since Zillow has been spoken about among realtors, realtors have been very concerned that the ultimate goal is to disintermediate realtors in much the same way that Expedia and Travelocity, et cetera. I don't want to accuse one company. Because...
We're accusing them equally.
But Zillow grew out of Expedia, so we don't want to simply point to Expedia because Travelocity, Hotels, Inc., or whatever, all of these other travel sites were along for the ride. But realtors and people who follow real estate have wondered if Zillow was aiming at real estate professionals in much the same way that travel agents are now, either unemployed or working in call centers, as I think it was Mr. Barton said. How do you react to that in light of Zillow 5?
Oh, well, hopefully, with Z5, hopefully this question and this argument goes away once and for all. What we're putting out here is a tool for you to build and buy your own advertising on the website and purchase it with your credit card. If it was our intention to get into the game of buying and selling houses, we wouldn't be spending our technical resources building these kind of tools. What I'm hoping is that realtors look at Z5, and in particular they look at Easy Ads, and just basically the light bulb goes on and they say, my word, these guys were building a media company all along. They do intend to make their money from advertising. So I'm hoping Z5 will put that argument to rest. I'd be happy to continue to have that conversation, but here we have something on the website that we can point to and say, look, this advertising product, Easy Ads, right, that's something Expedia would never have built. Expedia was selling airline tickets, hotel reservations, etc. We're not selling houses, so we have to sell advertising. And so for us, our audience is really where it's at, and the ads that our advertisers buy and put in front of our audience is how we make our money. And I think we have just a so much more tangible example of that, more so than we ever had since launch, that hopefully the conversation does die away once and for all. What do you think is going to happen, Greg? You can look at it.
I'm completely sold that, obviously, I've had cast a wary eye on Zillow for months, but I'm completely sold that this is a media play that you're doing, that you're selling advertising, that, and I think that's an excellent monetization strategy anyway. But also the Q&A and all of the other things that we're talking about, the fact is that if I am so free to promote myself as a realtor on Zillow.com, you're clearly not trying. Here's a way of thinking about this, and I'm thinking about this in light of another Seattle startup that we can leave nameless. For whatever reason, someone in the corporate structure at Zillow realized that taking on the NAR would be a very expensive and possibly losing battle, and so instead of fighting them, find a way to cooperate with them. And I can look at it strictly in terms of cold-blooded strategy that way and say, okay, if they took that strategy, what would they do in order to provide maximum benefits to realtors with a minimum threat? And obviously you've been a big threat since February of 2006, but every time you come out with a new release of the software, it's clear to me that you've listened to the complaints about the threats and sought ways to minimize or eliminate those threats at the same time that you're adding value, clearly value for working, practicing realtors and licensees, not necessarily realtors, but real estate licensees. I mean, obviously, homeowners and ordinary end users, buyers, sellers, and just people who are interested in real estate can come on board and ask questions, answer questions, write wiki articles, write real estate guide articles, etc. But the fact of the matter is the bulk of this content, at least 80%, possibly as much as 95%, maybe all but 100% of this content is going to come from working real estate professionals, whether it's realtors or lenders or other people in the business. And I think it's brilliant. I do think it's brilliant because what you've done, and I'll be writing about it this way, what you've done is kind of gone one up on a magazine. It's not really a Web 2.0 play, although it is, because it is a community play, and Web 2.0 really is about community. But if you think about a magazine is a community of readers and a community of advertisers who are brought together by the content.
Yes.
And the readers are interested in the content of the magazine, but they're also interested in the associated merchandise that goes along with the content of the magazine. For instance, skis and boots and poles and clothing in a skiing magazine, and trips and ski lodges and vehicles and all of the things that you need to do to ski. And obviously, they're not at all interested in beachwear, for instance.
Yes.
But you take people who are interested in skiing, you provide content about skiing, and they come because they want that content, and then you sell that readership to the advertisers who are interested in selling merchandise to people who are interested in skiing. And the reason that I say you've gone one up is that, for the most part, you provided the means of supplying the content, but not the content itself. You're getting the community itself to supply the content.
Correct.
And so the community essentially is its own customer. Obviously, it's not the same. There are vendors and there are consumers, but the two of them working together, the vendors and the consumers working together, are supplying the bulk of the content. And Zillow is supplying the underlying hardware and software. I think it's brilliant. I think it's very intelligent. And I can't promise you that we'll see a dramatic shift in the response to Zillow as a result of this, but my obvious understanding of the company now is that by increments, whether with this release or the next, you will come ever closer to that ideal. And I think, you know, you're really headed for the land of Amazon and eBay, completely benevolent friends of everybody. Nobody hates eBay. Everybody loves eBay. And the community is what sustains, or Wikipedia is another example. The community is what sustains these sites. And I think you're headed in that direction. It may happen with this release, but if it doesn't, you're certainly headed in that direction, and I don't see any way of stopping it. I think it's very impressive. I do. I mean, I do think that the management, including yourself, David, but the management of Zillow, just expresses an extreme amount of intelligence in the way that you handle the problems that you come up against. Rather than ending up in confrontations all the time, you find a way to arrive at a conciliation, and I think it's extremely intelligent because obviously you've had plenty of opportunities for confrontation, and you haven't taken up the challenge. I commend you, because I certainly don't have this in my character, that there's a point at which you know you don't get to say one more insulting thing without us coming to blows.
Well, there's just so much opportunity in this industry. It's a case of, you know, how can you not innovate? And there's a lot to argue about as well, but I think the opportunity space is just so exciting that the arguments are really not even worth the time.
A question that I had was, all right, I have supplied content to Zillow. It's available to be seen on my profile page. And my profile page presumably I can provide a link back to my own website. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then what do you anticipate happening in terms of the Google link between the two?
What do you mean exactly, Greg? You're going to need to...
In other words, how is, for instance, Gordon Stevenson, which is the profile page that you showed me...
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait to see.
Gordon starts to show up in Google.
That Gordon will have a long tail search that will hit this page as well as his own home site or whatever. Okay, that's interesting. And then,
and I'm glad you asked that question in the context of single property websites. Sorry to butt in.
That's okay.
But it is an important question because You know, there's a lot of buzz about single property websites in the industry. So think about that along those lines as well, not just profile pages, but over time, I really do hope Google starts picking up, you know, 3969 Evanston Avenue, Seattle on Zillow.
Right.
We have constructed the URLs on the website in such a way that, you know, profile pages are unique online destinations. Houses themselves are unique on online destinations. So overall, over time, hopefully Google picks up on both the profile pages as well as the home detail pages. Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
And that, no, that's great, too, because this is something that I've been writing about, hyper-local real estate weblogging down at the street level. And now that we're talking about being able to answer any question about any home, even if it wasn't answered, and answering it with photographs, for instance, yeah. I could go down West Willetta Street in FQ Story and take pictures of every home on both sides of the street or every home that I think is particularly remarkable and provide a profile on every one of them. And then anytime anybody searches Willetta Street or even just the word Willetta, there's an excellent chance that I'm going to pop up in the top 10 search results on Google. And that's very powerful also. And again, this is an example of the kind of incentive that you're providing to agents if they are willing to put in the effort in the salt mines, as it were. And I think this is clever also because 67 million homes, 68 million homes, I don't know how many zip codes you cover, but it's got to be 90,000 zip codes. The ads are sold by zip codes, and obviously farm areas logically in many cases will break down to zip codes. And what you've done is you've marshaled the 1.4 million realtors or however how many there are to go out and mine one particular quadrant of the Zillow space for you. And I do think that's intelligent. And I don't mean to imply that there's anything nefarious about it. I mean, obviously, they're doing work that is of benefit to you, but they're doing it because the work is of benefit to them. And it's the mutual benefit that makes the whole thing work. And it's just...
Oh, absolutely. I don't expect anyone to keep doing it if their phone doesn't start ringing. And that's a good point. I think you made the point just now. You know, your profile page, you can put a link back to your website or your blog if that's more relevant in your case. You know, we spent a lot of time talking to professionals in the industry, and we asked them, how do you want to get your business? How do you want to hear from prospective buyers and sellers that are interested in contacting you? And we heard the same thing over and over again, which was, the number one method is make my phone ring. The number two method is put them in my inbox. And number three method was send them to my website. And so we decided to let you do all three of those things without charging you extra. And just in the normal course of what you do on Zillow, you can insert your telephone number, link to your email address, and link to your website from pretty much anything you do on Zillow, even an easy ad. So, you know, as we're building this easy ads product, we took it from the same perspective. What do they want out of, what do realtors want out of an advert? Well, they want their telephone to ring. And so at the very simplest, you can just put your name, your photograph, and your telephone number in an easy ad, and it'll take you about 5 minutes to create. For $10, you're up and running.
Excellent. And the easy ads will not run on my profile page, is that correct?
No, we don't have easy ads on the profile page.
And this is exactly what you can't get from Google. Google will compete with you every which way, compete against you every which way. I think it's insane that realtors will put AdWords on their websites or on their real estate web blogs, and then I will show up and I will get hammered with ads for their competitors.
with one caveat, don't cut us too much credit. We do have banner ads on the profile page.
I see that.
At the national level and typically national advertisers.
Right. Lenders, et cetera.
Yep.
So if Zillow is not attempting to disintermediate realtors, would it be correct to say that you're attempting to disintermediate all of the middlemen who stand between realtors and their money?
Who stands between realtors and their money? People stand between realtors and their money.
Lead sources, Google, et cetera. Is this a target for Zillow? Is this who you are?
We really don't talk about targets. We talk about a gap. So we like to think that we're doing something that hasn't been done before, but for which there's just a massive gaping need. And that really is the way we think about it, Greg. This inventory has been so late in innovating, especially online, that there really isn't a bogey for us. And we've actually sat around talking about, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had a bogey? because then there's someone to go after, someone to clobber, you know, but it's not like that. It really is... We talk a lot about this book by Kevin Marbrow called Blue Ocean Strategy. I don't know if you've read it, but a blue ocean is basically when you build a business in a space where nobody is, and a red ocean is when you build a business in a space where everybody is, and the ocean there is red because of the blood you're competing so much. And so we talk about Zillow as a blue ocean business, but just, you know, to be frank, we don't really have a bogey.
Okay, I'm going to come to the end. I want to talk a little bit about easy ads.
Yes.
1 cent per impression, is that correct?
Correct.
And the ads will rotate by zip code.
Correct.
So if you have 2,000 ads available per zip code, my chance of showing up would be 3 out of 2,000 at any particular page refresh. Is that correct?
Yes.
Let's go to 10025, where I used to live in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are a lot of agents there. There's a lot of inventory because it's all skyscrapers.
Yeah.
In 10025, you could easily have 100,000 ads in your hopper. And so my chances of being seen are 3 out of 100,000. At that point, am I, number one, up against a wall? Am I looking at a situation where my ad will never be seen? And number two, is there any reason for you to vary price by demographic?
So two excellent questions. We're spending a lot of time thinking about both, Greg. I think as the product evolves, expect it to evolve in this area. But obviously, we didn't build the product for an oversold scenario at day one because we're starting from scratch. So the product will not allow you to buy. You'll see when you buy the ads, it's actually really, really simple. You tell us where to serve it, what zip code. You tell us how many impressions you want to buy at a penny a piece. And then you tell us how long to take in serving it, 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, or 6 months. And if inventory is heavily sold in that area, and you try to buy a 1 week ad, we'll tell you that we can't give you, you know, your 10,000 impressions in 1 week, and we'll throw up an error message that says, please try and take longer, suggesting that you take the 1 month, 3 month, or 6 month option. So that's our solution today. We still think it's probably possible if one zip code heavily sells out to have a few ads stepping all over each other, but that mechanism which tells you to slow down the rate at which we serve the ad is going to go a long way to make sure that that doesn't happen. When it does, those are the kind of problems we hope to have. But that kind of addresses your first question. Sorry, Greg. Just remind me, the second question was again?
Have you thought about varying price by demographic?
We have thought about a marketplace type or approach to pricing, or an exchange type approach to pricing over time, and we might do something in that area. However, we're going to need to learn a lot before making any changes. So yes, we've thought about it. It might make sense to have a marketplace for pricing these ads. And all I can say is watch this space. We're going to be watching the pace at which people buy ads to make that decision somewhere in the future. But probably in the future, the fairest way to do it would be to allow advertisers themselves to set the price of the ads.
Okay, and the next question I have is actually the opposite. Let's go to Tonopah, Arizona, where if you get a flat tire, you can probably get AAA there within 3 or 4 hours. Now we're talking about a place where there might be, you know, a total of $40 per month being spent on easy ads. Yeah. Will there be a circumstance where you'll be running impressions for free just to fill up the space?
I doubt it. We haven't talked about it, and we don't have any mechanism against which to keep track of who we've credited with easy ads. So there's no major marketing reason for doing that at this stage. I think what's likely, Greg, we are going to have that. You know, there are parts in the middle of the country where we don't have Zestimates and where we don't have, you know, a lot of houses in the Zillow inventory at this stage. Those parts of the country also don't get a lot of visits on Zillow. So what's going to be interesting is to see how much of an equilibrium we can reach between ad demand and actual, you know, eyeballs on our website. And I think there is going to be a balance there, and the balance is going to tell us how well priced easy ads are. Um, if we you know, if we have a whole lot more demand for ads than there is traffic in that area, well, then the ads probably might be priced too inexpensively. We might need to relook at that. So there are, as you've mentioned, a lot of dimensions at play here. But, you know, I think demand for ads is kind of going to be balanced out by the consumer traffic on the website. And we're quite transparent about that. So, I mean, we recently added this page view feature where you can go to the bottom of the page on any home that you're selling on Zillow and you can see how many people have visited that house. So, you know, I think a local expert is going to have a feel already for the kind of popularity of Zillow in their local neighborhood. That, in turn, will drive their desire to be advertising on the Easy Ads product. And I think the two are going to balance each other out. Make sense?
Yes. And at present, we don't have anything even remotely like the analytics that are available on Google AdWords. Do you anticipate having something like that soon, or is that a blue sky proposition at this point?
Well, you know, what you'll also notice is that buying an ad on Zillow isn't nearly as complex as it is on Google AdWords. So, you know, we weren't necessarily looking to duplicate their product. And I think there's a different scale of complexity of buying an ad on Google versus, you know, deciding to advertise to the whole internet is a kind of a big step compared to knowing you want to advertise on Zillow because you're a realtor. So they do need to be all things to all people, and we just need to be an incredibly effective advertising tool for realtors. So you talk about analytics. At the get-go, you do get a counter on page views and click-through. But, yes, we are thinking of how we could provide advertisers with more advanced analytics in the future. And I really think, you know, the kind of user we're talking about is probably more a brokerage that's doing centralized ad buys that wants to do more advanced analytics on those ad buys. We don't give you, for example, page views on an hourly basis or anything along those lines. But I think what we've got at the get-go is sufficient for most realtors who are buying their own advertising. But we will look at, you know, user requests for metrics and then take our decision as to building out the metrics in the future based on that. The nice thing about a product like this is once you've got it out there, prioritizing the next feature is so much easier than building the first feature set, because now we just listen to the feedback we get. So that's the next phase, I guess.
Okay. Another blue sky question. XML feeds or some other kind of automated way of entering listings into the Zillow database?
Thing to announce on that today, Greg.
Yes.
But the product team responsible for posting listings on Zillow is making sure that by the end of the year it's a lot easier than it is today. So, you know, expect something in that area later in 2007, but I don't have anything to announce.
Okay, and then we had talked before about the disclaimer that is to be added anytime a Zestimate appears on Zillow. Could you just speak to that a little bit?
What I mentioned actually is, and there's, you know, you and I have had discussions in the past about disclaimers and explaining Zestimates better to consumers, etc. And, you know, with each product release, we've actually made a large step in that direction, doing a better job of explaining what Zestimates are for. I think more importantly, explaining what Zestimates are not. I think that's actually the most important message to get out there. So now the page that explains what's a Zestimate actually leads with what a Zestimate is not. And that page is now linked to, you know, we've attached links to that page next to the Zestimate and next to the value range explanation. And with this last release, we just said, you know what, let's put that explanation on every single page of the website that anybody who's on Zillow at any time can get to very quickly get to a definition of what on earth a Zestimate is. And there are still people discovering Zillow for the first time today and seeing Zestimates for the very first time. So I think this explanation just makes sense. I'm glad to be linking to it from every page on the website. You'll see in the footer, there's a link there that says, what's a Zestimate value? And that now links to a page that leads with a whole lot of information, but amongst others it says, we encourage buyers, sellers, homeowners to supplement Zillow's information by doing other research such as a CMA, getting an appraisal, visiting the house, and creating their own estimate using the My Estimator tool on Zillow.
Excellent. I am very impressed. I'm not easily impressed, and I'm nobody's fanboy, but I think this is a very intelligent thing that you've done here. I look forward to, I've written about half of what I intend to, and I look forward to fleshing it out on the basis of our conversation here, and obviously this will be available as a podcast for anyone who wants to hear you speak in your own voice and hear what you have to say. Do you have anything that you'd like to add at the end here?
No, Greg, just thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the focus you've given this. I appreciate it. You know, you do drill down to the core issues. You definitely are nobody's fanboy. So hearing that you are going to write a positive review, I appreciate it, but definitely wasn't necessarily expected. But thanks for your time, Greg.
No, you've done a great job, and I thank you so much for your time today. And we'll have all of this available later this week. So bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg. Bye-bye.